For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Welcome to Ladies Talking Leafs. I'm Chris.
And I'm Syl.
And welcome to our debut of being on video and on YouTube. And happy anniversary. It's our 75th episode, which is totally unbelievable for us. I don't know. I didn't think that we'd be going 75 episodes later, but we are. And
yep.
I'm going to shake this once now. This is my 1993 I Belief playoff rattle. And it actually is from the Fan 1430. I have a little sticker there.
And anyway, that's probably when they first started, too.
Yeah.
That station was brand new. It used to be CJCL, the music of your life. You remember that?
Yes, I do. Yeah. Yeah. But anyhow, I won't shake it too much during the show, obviously. Don't want to be too annoying.
Plus, we need to save it for actual live playoff action.
Yeah.
So as Chris said, though, you can now listen to us on any of your favorite apps. And if you want to, you can also see us talking on YouTube. So we'll be talking Leafs there every episode, and you're going to be able to see us live. So our YouTube handle is at LTL1917. So be sure to follow us there and watch us watch the show.
Yeah. And another benefit to following us or subscribing to us on YouTube is to see all the videos that we got on there from games that we've attended. And of course, in the playoffs, we'll be going to a lot of playoff games. We're crossing our fingers like that. Mm-hmm. And but before we do that, we're going to be putting a little bit of a bow on the 2022-23 regular season.
Yes. So there's the last couple of weeks of the season were pretty much meaningless. Obviously, we've known that we're going to be playing Tampa in the first round forever. But there are still a few milestones and important moments that our Leafs had. So starting with Mark Giordano, who was named the Leafs 2023 Masterson Trophy nominee for his dedication and perseverance to the game. Gio also played in his 1100th NHL game versus the Bruins on April 6th.
Yeah. And something, the similar trophy, I guess, in the AHL, the American Hockey League, it's the Fred, I'm just going to read it off here. It's the Fred T. Hunt Memorial Award, which is the, it's, I guess, awarded to the AHLer who best exemplifies sportsmanship, determination and dedication to hockey, and our Marlies captain won it, Logan Shaw. So congrats to Logan Shaw and to Mark Giordano on being nominated for the Masterson Trophy for the NHL. And he also got the, I guess, obviously he has the most blocked shots too, Mark Giordano. Mm-hmm. So from, he got that, I don't even know how they measure that. That to me is kind of crazy that they can measure that sort of thing. But yeah, so anyhow, so there are quite a few other milestone moments or big moments that happened in the last couple of weeks. So there's in Boston, Jake McCabe played his 500th NHL game. Ryan O'Reilly got his 700th career point versus the Lightning, and the Leafs as a franchise got their 50th win in the final game of the regular season versus the Rangers. So that's just great regular season stuff. But what we've been waiting for is Tuesday night.
Yep.
The playoff schedule was announced. Tuesday night is game one of the Stanley Cup playoffs. But some great accomplishments for our Leafs for the regular season, that's for sure.
Absolutely. I think this has been another year of record breaking and, you know, maybe not as big fanfare as we had last year. Like there were some pretty big dominoes that fell last season. But I think that the team, just like us, is, you know, they've got their focus on something more. And so we may as well get down to it. Before we get into the show, we just want to give you a reminder to please leave us a rating or a review, wherever you listen to the show. On Spotify, there's a new feature at the bottom of each show profile where you can leave us a review there or answer a simple poll question about our show. It's just a click and it will help us grow and improve our show. So now let's get into the show, starting with our final regular season edition of The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. And then we're going to run the Ladies Talking Leafs highlight reel for the regular season. And for our third period segment, we are going to have our Ladies Talking Leafs insider and co-host of the podcast, The Leafs Convo and HockeyBuzz.com, Mike Ogiello, to join us to talk about the upcoming playoff series between the Leafs and the Lightning. So without any further ado, let's talk Leafs.
The good, the bad, the ugly for our final installment of the regular season. And my good is Luke Shen. So Luke Shen, I have to say off the top, I am a little bit worried with the amount of ice time that he gets with Morgan Riley. But they've been playing pretty well together. So I just hope he can handle it in the playoffs, because it's going to be a little bit more tougher minutes there.
I guess too, like with Tampa, he didn't necessarily play as much as he's going to play with the Leafs. So
yeah. And but I like the fact versus Tampa that he dropped the gloves with Pat Maroon. And I think he actually may have gave him a minor injury there in that little tilt.
Oh, well.
Because Maroon didn't come back to the game. And then also he got his first goal in the Leafs jersey since February 4th, 2012 versus the Ottawa Senators. So it's been quite some time. I'm liking his game, his physicality. We brought him in for his physicality, obviously, clearing the front of the net. Not taking any crap there. That's my good. That's what I short and sweet. And I just want that to continue into Tuesday and beyond. We also brought him on, obviously, for his experience being in the finals and going to the Stanley Cup finals. And yeah, I just like that.
The one thing I think you cannot disregard is the fact that he bleeds blue.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And he's so excited to be back playing for this team.
Yeah.
I think that is an intangible that you cannot discount, because when it comes down to it, you know, he's a physical player, but he is going to lay it on the line. So I do think that he's definitely, going to put it all out there for this team, and it's meaningful enough for him to pull on this jersey, and they have brought in several guys that feel that way. So that's an important component.
And the other guys are just going to feed off of that, obviously.
For sure.
Right. They already have, I think, but him being a former Leaf already previously, that's going to do a lot to him. Yeah.
Feeding into that a little bit, my good is Matthew Knies. I think coming in, obviously it was disappointing the way the Golden Gophers, finished the season there, losing in the fashion that they did. That's kind of a dagger. But a lot of people were not sure how he was going to come in. You know, is he going to be like a deer in headlights? Is it going to be, you know, too big for him? But he has been very poised and composed and basically made a pretty seamless transition. Now, I don't think we could expect, you know, too much from him. And I think that if he does play in the playoffs, it's going to be spot starts.
Yeah.
I don't think that they're going to, you know, put too much pressure on the kid, but he has done a really good job so far. He has an assist on what could have been a goal. It almost was. And it was so cute how O'Reilly actually apologized to him for scoring it over him. But I think that he seems pretty comfortable out there, and that's good to see.
He definitely looks like an NHLer in the interviews.
Oh, for sure.
Like, geez, this guy's doesn't look like a kid, but he is. Mm-hmm. And but yeah, no, and he's definitely played. There's a couple of defensive things that obviously it's just his first few NHL mm-hmm. games. So it's whatever. He'll work on that. And like you said, he's not going to get into every playoff game. He'll probably see one. And I have to say, obviously, I was wrong on the predictions because he mm-hmm. did.
Yes, yes, you were wrong.
I was wrong. But I stood up for what I said at the beginning of the season. So, but it was great that he signed the entry level deal, which apparently it kind of put us in a spot when it comes to the goaltending, but,
it's going to come up a little bit later in our show discussing that.
Yeah.
And the fallout from that.
I liked what he said though about after his first game. And I mean, I guess most players are going to say this after his first game, but after the game in Florida, when he was asked what he's going to remember the most about his first game, that they won. Mm-hmm. that's the attitude you want to take, right? So
absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's good. But I think he's the first three games. Definitely. He had his first practice at home in Toronto today on Saturday. And
mm-hmm. Because he basically joined them on the road for the last three road games. So he hasn't even been in Toronto.
No. And
I actually think that if he gets into that first game on Tuesday, that might be where the jitters come. It's actually was probably good for him that he started on the road, really.
Yeah.
In familiar surroundings, too, especially the second game against Tampa. That's where they played, although there was bad memories there. So it was probably good that he overcame those.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so let's move on to the bad.
Yes. So my bad is not so much about the Leafs, but it's about this NHL Global Series. I don't know if some of our listeners probably heard the announcement. It didn't really get a lot of fanfare, probably because of who's playing, which is my point here. But the Global Series where the NHL takes the game overseas somewhere is actually going to Australia next September mm-hmm. on the 23rd and the 24th. And the bad that I have about this is the fact that they're actually bringing the Arizona Coyotes there. I just don't know why they would do that. And I mean, they're going to be playing in Melbourne Park, which is where the Australian Open the tennis tournament is.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Cause they're, I listened to, I guess the announcement from Australia there, I believe it was their sports minister or somebody related to sports there, but on the Melbourne Ice, they're one of their mm-hmm. hockey teams. They had this big official announcement there and he said that it was going to be at Melbourne Park. So, and they have those closed roofs there, obviously, that they can, they'll keep the ice there anyways for the mm-hmm. games. But I didn't like the fact that they're picking the Arizona Coyotes and I just had a laugh. Somebody, I don't know if he lives in Australia, but one of our followers on Twitter, I got to find the tweet. It's hilarious what he said about the Melbourne part. He said that I can't find it now. Of course, I should have had it up before. Anyways, he said something to the effect that at least they'll probably get more fans there in Australia than they would at the 5,000 seat arena of Mullet Arena. Right?
That is probably true.
Yes. Yeah.
Because I guess that's what they're banking on, that, because it's NHL teams and it's not you know, an everyday occurrence that Australians can just go to an NHL game, that it doesn't matter what team goes, right?
Yeah.
And they probably are trying to save this franchise. I don't know why they're trying so hard. I don't know what any of them or maybe the government or, I don't know, the mob in Arizona. I don't know. Somebody's got something over Gary Bettman there, but yeah. So I guess that's what they figure, that it doesn't really matter what team it is. So you may as well prop up, you know, the lowly Coyotes once more and make a little bit more money for them. I don't know.
I guess. I don't know. They have Clayton Keller there. I guess that's the only player really that I know on that team. And I mean, LA Kings are the other team we should mention. Mm-hmm. And I mean, they're obviously they're a good team. Like they have some good with Kopitar and Doughty and in goal now. They got that Korpisalo, which is going to be interesting.
Well, and I guess it makes sense because they're a Pacific Coast team. So yeah, the travel is less.
That
so,
makes sense. Yeah. But I mean, I would have even preferred having put a Canadian team in there, right? The Australians love Canadians, right? Put even Vancouver, even though we don't really care. Like just somebody else other than Arizona, somebody that actually loves the game of hockey, a team that where they have a good fan base in that. Anyways, so that's my bad. I won't go on about it.
Yeah.
What's your bad?
So my bad, actually, moving things back to the Leafs a little bit, is Samsonov's status going into the playoffs. We know that he was given the last two nights off, which was fine. And it was good for Wall to get in as well, you know, because so both of them got to play a little bit leading into things. But he did look like he was laboring a little bit, and he did look like maybe he tweaked something. We know that Murray is likely not going to play, like at least in this first round for sure. So it's a little bit nervy going into this, especially given the way Tampa plays. And I just have to think of somebody like Corey Perry, who likes to crash the net.
Yeah.
That I'm concerned about that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a concern, but twice now I've heard Samsonov say, Sammy never breaks.
Yeah.
Right. So I just love the, like,
he knows himself best.
We got to resign him just for his, post-game talks and all that. Right. He's just great. I love him.
No, he does have a really good personality and a really good kind of demeanor. He's very even keel, which is great.
And I think that's what they loved about the fans there. They loved that about him too. It will be interesting though, because he didn't have a good playoff record. Let's just hope we're a better team in front of him than the Capitals were. So that maybe that'll.
Well, I don't know if you saw any of their media availability today when they interviewed him, and he was just going on and on and on about how much he loves playing in Toronto. And from the moment that he got here, the guys in the dressing room, how much everybody loves each other. He was just going on and on and on. So I don't know. I think that he had a little bit of adversity. Like, remember that first game that he played in Washington, and it did not go so well. Yes. He went on had a little bit of a difficult time after that. I'm hoping he got over some of that now. So, I think that we maybe have a better D core in front. We have good team defense as a whole right now. So hopefully that's going to pay dividends and help him. But I'm just concerned about his injury status and how well he feels physically. But like you said, he always says Sammy never breaks. So I'm going to trust that he knows himself better than anybody.
Yeah. And he's had now, I guess, thankfully they were able to give him like full days off, like games off too. And hopefully his new little baby will let him sleep a little bit.
Yeah, that's the only thing. There's a lot of newborns on young children on this team right now.
Yeah.
So it might be better for them to be on the road more, but anyway.
Yeah.
No, that's all, it's all going to be good. And I'm sure they're as excited as we are, probably more so.
Oh, for sure.
But, yeah, I think everybody, including from the team all down through Nate Leafs Nation, wants just this to get going.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And from the last couple of weeks, we don't have an ugly. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, the Wrecks are always ugly, so we don't need to get too much into that more. Let's just hope
yeah. we get some good people.
Yeah. Yeah. And a little bit of luck. But much as Samsonov's status is a bit of a worry, there are a couple of positives that made our LTL highlight reel. So let's roll it.
All right. So in number three, we did mention them a little bit briefly. Are the amateur tryout goalies, the ATOs. We had four games and four ATO goalies because of the NHL's salary cap and our situation. And this is basically what we were leaning towards when we were talking about, you know, kind of what Kyle Dubas sort of put the team into with signing Knies, which was apparently important to them to do. So I think, you know, I forgive that, but we had some guys that stepped in and did a great job, you know, in the limited, only one guy got some limited action, which was Jet Alexander, for the Habs game. And then we had, Nick Chouinard in the Florida game, Matthias Onuska, Tampa Bay game, and Samuel Richard in the Rangers game. So all four of those guys, kind of had their dream scenario happen and got into an NHL game and got to dress. So
at least got on the bench, with the exception of Jed Alexander, who actually got into the game in the last minute or so, which was fantastic. We have some video of that on our YouTube channel. And I mean, it was just ridiculous the way the Habs responded to that. Like, it was it was 7-1 when the guy went into the game. Like, why? I love Kyle Dubas too, the way he said, like, I don't really care what other people are saying. He said, right? Like, it's true. And they know, they don't care about, like, if they were to do it, they would do the same thing, basically.
Well, and it's not like the Leafs were the only team to actually do that. First of all, other teams have done that. I mean,
well, Edmonton, whoever it was with the Oilers, they played the whole period against the Blackhawks,
which I guess, to me, that might have made more sense, even because it wasn't a meaningless game, and we want to save Sammy for the playoffs. So really, did he have to play the whole game? Not really. But I guess they felt it was disrespectful, and they also felt that it was disrespectful that, you know, we had our top power play unit on for the last power play. But you know what? You're tuning up for the playoffs, and if they were in our position, they would have done the same thing. And like Dubas says, it doesn't really matter what they think because it's about our team and what's important to our team. And it's important to him and the organization to do right by these players, especially these guys that are coming in at the last minute to help us out. So,
And that's apparently too, thing. Like, they are in the other way. I sort of knew the difference, but I guess the e-bug is like, if it was our goalies that were actually injured in the game and there was both of them, and then it's an e-bug as opposed to an ATO.
Right.
Jet Alexander is an e-bug technically. Like, he, like Kyle Dubas said that, like, he's helped them out before. Like, they basically just sit at the game, or they're always available on call kind of thing in case there is that scenario.
They come in and they help them with practices and stuff too, right? So, so these guys, a few of them are, you know, guys that are familiar with the team. And I think Jet Alexander is definitely one of those guys.
Yeah, and they just wanted to give them kudos for that. So now he can say that he was in his first NHL game. But moving on to number two now is our friend William Nylander, Willie Styles. Yes. Willie has to be listening to Syl, because every time Syl says that he's not been so great, he just turns it around for the next show. And that's what he did, because he was in her bad books / show, and he's back to being Willie Styles, or Dr. Nylander. Got his 40th goal of the season versus the Rangers. And I don't know, I just saw the last couple of games, I saw something from him. He is just It's like he's driving play again. Like he's just holding on to the puck. He wants the puck. And I don't know how many shots he had versus the Rangers before.
I know, it was crazy.
Yeah.
I think he had like 10 shots.
Yeah, he had something ridiculous like that. And he's now the 15th player in Leafs history to reach the 40-goal milestone. So that's quite the accomplishment for him. And it's too bad. I mean, not taking away from Willie right now. It's too bad Marner didn't get the 100th point, but he'll get that soon enough anyways. Doesn't really matter, but William Nylander is definitely deserving of our number two on the highlight reel. And something he said from one of the articles in The Athletic, they asked him if he was proud of his season overall, and he said, "I'll be proud when we effing win." And I won't say
I you did saw see that quote. Right?
Yes, I like that.
I like that too.
Yes,
his head's in the right place.
Oh, for sure. Yeah,
so that's good. So going back to our goaltending, and that seems maybe to be the theme of our show today in a way, but is Joseph Woll is in our number one spot. So we mentioned Joseph Woll in our last show, giving a hint that he could be our next Felix Potvin, and focusing on the two games he played in this past week versus Tampa. He had 45 saves for the win, the most saves for a Leafs rookie goalie since Peter Ng in 1990. So Woll backed that up with a 22 save win versus the Rangers on Thursday night at MSG as well. So he is like a cool cucumber, that one. I mean, I don't know, like all the things that he did over the summer, like I think that he can just, you know, go to his Zen place while he's in net there. And it's impressive what he's doing as a young kid. And
I'm for sure.
I'm not worried at all if he has to go in.
Yeah. Oh no. He's like he has like a 9-2-0 record, I guess, now in the NHL. And
I mean, it is a small sample, for sure, right? And he's never been under this kind of pressure, but yeah, sometimes that's a good thing, you know. I mean, I think it was like that for Potvin in 93 there, you know, like they come in and they're just playing because that's what they know. And they don't know that the moment is too big for them, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing too is like, he had an amateur backup. So that's pressure too, in my mind, like,
because, for sure.
Like, obviously, knock on wood, he won't get injured, but if he wants to play well and stay in the net. And, he played fantastic, especially in that Tampa game in the last minute or so. They had quality chances there. Kucherov, they had the power play. They were 6-on-4 at one point.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And he stood tall, Joseph Woll, right? So,
he moves really, really well.
Yeah.
Like, and he is super calm. It's quite impressive.
Yeah. And I think, like, I don't know, I'm done with Matt Murray. Said that the last show. I think he's going to back up Samsonov, I think, definitely for the first little bit in the first round of the playoffs. And then next season, I think he's going to be our backup next season. I think
I have to agree with that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, we'll see how maybe he'll get in the game in the playoffs. It is still a tandem, and I'd be comfortable. Like if I don't know about starting him on the road or giving him a game on the road, I'd probably do it at home. Just because of the whole crowd thing and that, but we'll see how it goes with Samsonov and hopefully they'll both stay healthy. And yeah, I just, I'm liking him. And the fact that he was in MSG too, he's an American born goalie, right? Mm-hmm. Just to be on that stage for him, I thought it was great.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
He deserved all of the accolades. And yeah, that's another game where there was like a late onslaught and he held firm. And so, I got nothing but good things to say about that kid.
Yeah.
So, we're going to do a review of the entire season on a postseason show. But right now, we have much bigger things to talk about heading into round one of the Stanley Cup playoffs. And for our third period segment, we're going to be previewing the Leafs-Tampa Bay Lightning series with our Ladies Talking Leafs insider, Mike Ogello.
Okay, for our third period segment, we are welcoming to our show our Lady Stocking Leafs insider, Mike Augello, to chat about the upcoming playoff series versus the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Mike covers the Leafs and the NHL as a reporter and does a podcast with HockeyBuzz.com. He's also the co-host of Off the Post Radio and the Leafs Convo, and he is a writer for Full Press Hockey. As always, thanks for coming on the show, Mike.
Good morning, ladies. And in my spare time, I do feats of magic and a few other things. But
yes, you're just a Renaissance man.
It's juggling and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, and lots to do, especially during playoff time. It's even busier.
Oh yes. Yeah. It should be a fun ride.
Yeah. No, we're looking forward to it. All right. Mm-hmm. We got a few questions for you here lined up. But so I don't know, we weren't fans of this 11-7 that Sheldon Keefe was doing for basically all of the after the trade deadline, but I guess it's good because he was trying different combinations, but he never got a real set line. Let's just say what the lines are going to look like for the first couple of games of the playoffs versus the Lightning. What do you think is going to be for game one? Anyways, the line combinations and D pairings, who do you think is going to be on the ice?
I think it's going to be 12-6. I mean, there were contributing factors to the 11-7 thing. Sam Lafferty was away from the club for a few days. Apparently, his wife was having a baby. I guess these hockey players, they got to make sure that they don't have sex in August.
But that's when they're off. So it makes sense, right?
Exactly. I guess. You know, when you got the opportunity, what the hell? But Shannon and his wife had a baby, and Sam Lafferty and his wife or girlfriend had a baby, and he was away from the club. And the cap also was a factor because they had to send Wayne Simmonds down to the minors, or at least on paper, to get Matthew Nyes signed. But I think that the reason that they did also is because they wanted to experiment with different line combinations, and with 11 forwards, you are constantly mixing up the bottom six or putting a different winger with Matthews and Marner. So as an experiment, I think it was good. And also, you know, in the playoffs, sometimes you can't get players off the ice and you want to have some familiarity there with the other defensive pairings. Mm-hmm. In that concept, I think that was fine. I think they're going to go with 12-6. My question is, which 12 and which 6? Yeah. Line combinations, they'll mix and match, you know, but I don't know whether Ryan O'Reilly is playing second line center and Tavares is moving to the wing, or Ryan O'Reilly is playing third line center with, you know, a checking line with, say, Achari or Kerfoot or whoever. So that's one thing up front. The other thing is, who's the 12th forward? I mean, you would think it would be Lafferty, but we know what Tampa is. We know what they're going to try to do. I predicted it 2 weeks before that game. I looked at the schedule and said, they're going to, you know, that Corey Perry and Patrick Maroon and those bunch of knuckle dragging Neanderthals are going to try to take a piece out of the Leafs. And thankfully, Sheldon Keefe didn't put Matthews and Marner in the lineup, and the Leafs had some pushback and took it to Tampa just as much as they took it to them. But will Wayne Simmonds be in the lineup for game one? Or will they go with Matthew Nyes? I think the likely option for that 12th forward is Simmonds, because I think they know that Tampa is going to try to establish physicality and that rough and tumble nature. And they want their own nuclear weapon in their arsenal, and that's Wayne Simmonds.
So even though John Cooper said that there was no intensity in that game, right?
Convincing. Defensively, though, and you know, there is what is going to happen, and there is what I would do. And of course, I'm not coach of the Maple Leafs, so my word doesn't count. But if it was me, Timothy Liljegren would be one of the top six.
I agree with you on that one. Yeah.
But this is Sheldon Keefe. So it's probably, and I could be wrong on the pairings, but I think it's going to be Riley and Luke Shen. And they played together the last few games. TJ Brody and Jake McCabe.
with Brody playing the right side, and the third pairing, Mark Giordano and Justin Hall. To me, I would put Liljegren in there instead of Hall, but we know that Keith depends on Hall as a penalty killer, and he likes his size, even though he doesn't use his size that much. But that's what I think the 12-6 will be for the starters.
So given, though, like what we're talking about with Tampa at least wanting to establish the physicality, I guess at least for game one for sure, it would make more sense that Liljegren wouldn't be in, and he would opt for Hall too because of the size and style of play, though, right? And as far as Simmons goes, do you think that that's like a game one type of deal, just to kind of, you know, squelch any of that type of tactic,
yeah,
as opposed to waiting to see what they do game one and then game two trying that?
I think we know what Tampa is going to do. Now, granted, they're, you know, Maroon got hurt in that game against Toronto, but I think they took him out because they didn't want him to get any more hurt. He had a lower body injury when he tried to go in the corner with Nylander, and he got into the fight, and, you know, he scored a goal, but then they took him out. I'd be shocked if Tanner Janot plays in this series. The way his leg folded up in the last
week. Oh, I know. That was horrible.
That was horrible.
Yeah, I thought he broke his leg. Apparently, it's a high ankle sprain, but still, those are really tough to come back from. And even if you do come back from them, you're not anywhere close to being the player that you were before. So, but, you know, they've got those guys. They've got Nick Paul. They've got Killorn. I mean, they're physical throughout the lineup. You know, basically, if they play Simmons, they're playing 11 forwards and they're spotting Simmons in certain situations because, you know, he's not as mobile anymore and, you know, he doesn't score anymore, but he is valuable in the sense that he will defend his teammates. And you don't want Ryan O'Reilly, you don't want Austin Matthews or John Tavares fighting battles. So you need Shen and Simmons and a few players out there to stir it up. And at least for game one, remember last year, they put Kyle Clifford in the lineup in game one.
Right.
He went over the top and he got suspended. Yeah. But they needed that physicality in there to push back against Tampa, and they're still going to need that.
Okay. And the goaltending, before we go on, but the goaltending, please say that even though Matt Murray looks to be getting better in the practice, because you were at the practice yesterday, but hopefully he won't be backing up. I'm thinking it's going to be Samsonov and Hall.
At least not to start.
Wall, sorry.
No. That's a Freudian. Matt Murray was on the ice. He was doing like drills with some of the medical staff.
Yeah.
He was on the ice. I who knows when, but I do think at a certain point in the series, he will be the backup. Okay. Samsonov is the starter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's very confident, and to the point that he said, and I was standing next to him and he said in his, you know, he's a nice guy. He's a good kid. And in his broken English said, Leafs are the best team in the league.
Yeah. I saw that interview.
And I was like,
that's great.
And somebody, a colleague of ours who is in the media, I said the same thing. I says, you know, great, John Cooper's got bulletin board material. And he's like, well, I like the confidence. And, you know, if a team needs bulletin board material to get motivated in the playoffs, they don't need it, but every little bit helps. And I'm sure a best team in the league, Toronto, okay, we'll show them, folks. And like, I wish he wouldn't have said it, but okay.
Well, especially like, you know, Vasilevsky is his countryman too, right? And we know who goes in net for Team Russia. It's usually Vasilevsky, not Samsonov. So interesting.
He's in the second division of the Russian goaltenders. Mm-hmm. But okay. And Samsonov made a pretty good point. He's like, I'm not facing Vasilevsky. I'm facing the Tampa Bay Shooters.
True.
That's who I'm facing. Now, it's the Leaf Shooters facing Vasilevsky. That's what I think Toronto's got to be concerned about, because, you know, we all watched that 7-game series last year. And in the first 5 games, Jack Campbell was the equal of Vasilevsky, which means Vasilevsky was not playing. You know, Campbell was playing okay, and Vasilevsky was playing, Yeah, that's not Vasilevsky. In game 6 and 7, he was Superman. And that's what the Leafs have to worry about is that guy is capable of that all the time. He let in that bad five-hole goal to Nylander in the game against in the game in at Amalie Arena last week. And I'm like, that's not Vasilevsky. That's not the goal. That's not the goalie we're going to see in the playoffs. And if the Leafs are depending on that to win, then they're not going to win. They need they need to beat him when he's at his best. Whether they can do it, we'll see.
Okay, so that actually leads perfectly into our next question. So what do you think then are going to be the keys to the Leafs winning this series?
Well, I was listening to Bob McCowan's podcast, which is excellent, with John Shannon. He had Mike Zeisberger and Kevin Paul DuPont on there, and they were analyzing all the different series. And Kevin Paul DuPont mentioned, I think the term was mental physicality or mental strength. That is going to be the key to the Maple Leafs beating the Lightning. Because if you're talking about the team on the ice, the only area where Tampa Bay is leaps and bounds better than Toronto is in goal. And the Leafs are better than they were last year with Campbell. So they're closer to what Vasilevsky is, but Vasilevsky is one of the top two or three goalies in the league. Defensively, Tampa Bay's got a lot of holes. They're playing Darren Radish on the offside with Victor Hedman. You know, Jan Rudo wasn't exactly Bobby Orr, but he was an NHL defenseman, and they formed a pretty good pairing. Darren Radish is borderline NHL, AHL. He's not a very good defenseman. You know, they've got Sergachev, they got Cole, they've got Cernak, but their defense is not deep. And if they start to get injuries, one of the keys to the series is Toronto wearing down the Tampa Bay defense. At forward, I think the Leafs are comparable, and you can't mess with Stamkos and Point and Kucherov and Cirelli and all the guys that they have. Where the Leafs have to win this series is in their own heads.
100%.
We know how talented Austin Matthews and Marner and Tavares and Nylander and O'Reilly and go on and on. But they've got to convince themselves that they are as good as Tampa, and they've got to take it to Tampa, and they have to have the mental strength if there's adversity in this series, if they're up 3-2 and you need to finish out this series, they need to step on their neck and kill them. Yeah. And if they have to have that killer instinct, that, and especially the core group, the core five with Riley and the four forwards, they have to be strong mentally and say, we're going to beat this team and we're going to get over this hump that 19 years that we haven't had playoff success. And if they can do that, they can win. I'm saying, show me, folks, because I don't know whether they can or not.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. I think we both agree with that. That's for sure. But speaking of this core five, then, just moving up to the next question we have for you, I guess omitting the core five, who do you think is going to be the difference, could be a difference maker in this series for the Leafs that's not part of that core five?
Like you're just saying right now that it's a mental thing. So like any of the new pieces that they've added or whatever, like is someone going to emerge from that to be a difference maker then
and take us over that hump basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, okay. I'll give you two answers. One on up front is Ryan O'Reilly, because O'Reilly gives you the opportunity. First of all, you want a Conn Smythe, he's had playoff success. He's a veteran guy. He's versatile. He can play the wing, he can play center. He can play the power play, so he can fit in different positions, but he's had that success. He knows what it takes. He knows the heat of the playoffs, that crucible of the Stanley Cup playoffs. So his ability, and like, I believe they're going to use him as a third line center to match up with Point and Cirelli and Paul, one of those three, then you have Matthews, you have Tavares, and you have O'Reilly up the middle. That, I think that's as good or better than what Tampa has. So I think O'Reilly up front and on defense, some people would say McCabe, because McCabe is going to play significant minutes, and he's been really good since they got him. But honestly, I think it's Luke Shen. Luke Shen has to be physical, extremely physical on the blue line, because nobody else, other than maybe like, Giordano will throw a check here or there, McCabe will throw a check here or there. Shen is there for one reason, to beat the crap out of the Tampa Bay forwards. Mm-hmm. And he's not going to play a ton of minutes. He's going to play probably 12, 13 minutes. But you see nights where he's got that many minutes, he's got 7 hits. He needs to keep doing that. They need to be physical on the blue line. And he's like one of the only Leafs defensemen who can be physical. So I think O'Reilly and Shen, and you're talking 3 Stanley Cups there between the two of them.
That's right.
That will need to step up.
So if Shen is only playing, let's just say, like, that was one thing I talked earlier, because Shen was one of my my good guys on the from the past couple of weeks, that he definitely showed up against Pat Maroon there in the game last week. But if he's only playing, like you're saying, 12 minutes, who's going to play with Riley? Because Riley's playing generally like 20 minutes, let's just say. Obviously, he plays on the power play, but they put Brody in there too?
I think you're going to see probably, you know, Brody play elevated minutes because he's so trusted and he's so smart. I think, you know, Riley's going to play his 24, 25 minutes. Yeah. Brody's going to probably play 24, 25 minutes. You know, you're probably going to see Giordano's minutes. You know, those three will compensate for the lack of time. Shen will be out there on the PK. He's big and tough and he clears the front of the net. So, and he'll get some time there. But, you know, we know that their main penalty killing defensive tandem is Brody and Hall. So those guys will be out there for most of the PK. But I think Shen will get mixed in along with McCabe. But yeah, I think the top of the defense will compensate for the time that Shen doesn't play.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Okay. So I think we've pretty much figured out how we're things are going to look and how we're hoping things are going to go. But looking at some of the other playoff series, which one are you most interested in watching, like from the Western Conference and the Eastern Conference?
Well, I was thinking about this because now, again, when it comes to the Leafs, I'm trying to be as objective as possible, but there are teams that I don't like. And and the team that I don't like the most is the Edmonton Oilers. So I will be hate watching the Oilers-Kings series. I picked the Kings in 7. I picked an upset. A lot of people are picking, you know, it's the vogue pick to pick the Oilers to win the Stanley Cup or to win.
Right, yes.
I'm thinking they're gonna lose to the Kings. At least I'm hoping that. So that's the one I'll be hate watching. The other series is like, you know, Vegas and Winnipeg, you know, I don't think that's
a potential upset, don't you think? I mean, they got good goaltending. I think when you've got Hellebuck, potentially you've always got a chance, like similar to, like, you know, Tampa's always got a chance with Vasilevsky, right?
I put that series in the same category as Carolina and the Islanders. The Islanders have better goaltending and there are flaws with Vegas, but I think Vegas will win and I think Carolina will win. You know, Vegas, they're starting Laurent Brasseau in goal, and I just have a feeling at some point Jonathan Quick will get in there because I don't think Brasseau is that great of a goaltender, but he's played really well down the stretch.
And then you're talking to Stanley Cup. He's talking Stanley Cups there too, right? So
right, exactly. Pedigree. Yeah, but you know he is not the Jonathan.
No, he's not that guy anymore. That's for sure.
He has the hair on the back of his neck up after getting traded and screwed by LA. So I mean, a lot of people were rooting for Vegas and LA just simply to see the revenge thing with Quick. But I think Vegas will beat Winnipeg. I like the Dallas Minnesota series, but of the West series, it's LA Edmonton. I'm rooting for Philip Deneau to do to Connor McDavid what he did to Austin Matthews a few years ago.
Yeah. That's a potential thing to watch for sure.
Yeah, that should be interesting. Yeah, yeah.
And what about on the East?
Yeah,
in the East, well, Carolina and the Islanders could be the most boring of the 8 series. I mean,
agreed.
Neither one can score, and the Islanders had the better goaltending. You know, we know playoff Freddie. And we know it's like we're waiting for Kochetkov to be put in the net because, you know, if Freddie is playoff Freddie, then by game 5, Rod Brindamore will be scrambling. Actually, I think the one that's going to be the most interesting will be Devils Rangers.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be that potentially could be a bloodbath.
It could be a bloodbath. And I think home ice means absolutely nothing because we know all these fans will buy up every ticket at the Rock. You know, so they'll be singing that hey, hey, hey song at New Jersey and driving the Devils fans crazy. And actually, I mean, I like the Rangers to come out of that division. I think they can beat the Devils. They have the better goaltending. They have the deeper mm-hmm. team. And then I think they beat whoever survives Carolina and the Islanders. And Boston, Florida will be interesting to watch just to see them beat the crap out of each other. Cause those teams, you know, Tkachuk and Gudas up against Marchand. I mean, it's going to be interesting. Let's just Tkachuk against the Bruins. He'll drive them nuts, but I don't think they have enough to beat the Bruins, but
that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. So long as they beat each other up, that's really all we want, you know, like just really take it to them. That would be helping us out potentially when we get to the next round.
Yeah. If Brad Marchand is limping when game one against the second round starts, no matter, you know, whoever plays, I mean, let's just everybody's picking Boston. Everybody thinks Boston.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
You know, and you'd be stupid if you didn't because.
Well, they only have to play the last 5 minutes of any game to win. So,
I mean, and I'm sure many of your viewers are fantasy hockey pool, playoff hockey pool participants. Mm-hmm. I've hosted one and been commissioner of one for years. I'm prepared for like the bidding to go up to like $25 on David Pastrnak because everybody thinks the Bruins are going to go to the Stanley Cup. So, you know, everybody's going to be bidding them up. And mm-hmm. I'm like, I'll stay away because they're good. They're really good. And they have a really good chance to go far. But, we'll see.
I don't know. Their goaltend. What happened with Allmark got injured, or he supposedly got.
It's not that serious, but, you know.
They keep saying
they're
going
to make a big deal out of it just for gamesmanship, right? They'll make it sound like it's way worse than it is.
Yeah.
Now, if Alex Lyon comes out and says, we're the best team in the league, then.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's definitely going to be exciting. I forgot about Radko Gudas. Yeah, he's going to be interesting to watch in front of the net there and just cross-checking everybody and all that.
And Tkachuk is that type of playoff guy, right? So, like, I can really see him. Like, he's never going to say die until the horn sounds of last game seven or something of that last game, whatever it is.
The interesting thing is that apparently Daryl Sutter in Calgary last year told him to sort of cool it because, you know, they needed him on that top line being a scorer. They didn't need him in the penalty box. In this instance, I don't think that Paul Maurice is going to tell him to cool it.
No.
He's going to say, you know what? Go out and be the shit disturber that you are and drive them crazy because you've got enough loose cannons on that Bruins team like Marchand and Tyler Bertuzzi. And if you take them off of their game, that might be the only way you have a chance to beat them.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be fun. Round one is always the best, they say, of the Stanley Cup playoffs, right? So it's going to be lots of fun. And yes, I still think it's going to be Leafs in six. Thanks for coming on the show, Mike. You'll be coming on again, definitely.
I'll just say this, and Leaf fans, don't hate me. Don't hate me. But my motto for the last month has been show me. Show me. I'm picking Tampa in seven, but Leafs, if you can do it, show me.
That's funny. That's show me is what Stan Fischler, I've listened to him a few times. He's had some, and he says the same every year. He says the same thing. Show me. Well, I think we're going to show
that. I'm sure that there's a lot of Leaf fans out there that are with you on this, Mike.
Yeah.
You know, it's
yeah.
like everybody is like, until this first round is done, they're... Yeah. You know, it's second round and on is what people are looking for, you know, like, because it's really it's all sort of rolled in with a good, regular season for us right now. You know, it's the same old, same old. So they got to change it up this year if things are going to change. Right.
Yeah. And having Austin Matthews be the first guy on the ice at practice yesterday, I thought that was good. That looked like a good sign
that
to me.
That is good. Yeah, that is good.
There's no doubt that they're anxious. There's no doubt that they're all psyched. They're like, this was an 82 game preseason.
Yeah, for sure.
Everybody knew they were going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
It was like getting back. And then from January, you knew that it was going to be Tampa. Yeah. And I asked Sheldon Keefe yesterday, I says, is it an advantage that, you've known for so long that it's going to be Tampa? And he said, well, yeah, I mean, strategy wise and a few other things. But, like other teams, I mean, Boston didn't know who they were going to play until the game 82. There is an inherent advantage. But the problem is the team that you're playing has won the Eastern Conference 3 years in a row, and they've won a Stanley Cup twice. So you'd like to root for that team not to be the team that you're playing, but that's the reality of the situation.
It's the NHL schedule.
Yeah, well, I am hoping that, schedule. Like the person that you mentioned, Ryan O'Reilly, I think I agree that he's going to be the difference maker. One thing I love about him is he's not quiet on the bench either. No. And that is something that we haven't had in any of the seasons previous in recent years. Somebody who is vocal on the bench that has respect, I think that's going to be important for us.
Well, one final thing. Did you notice that the main tactic of Tampa Bay in that game was, especially Maroon, he went to the Leaf bench during play, stood right in front of Michael Bunting and was trying to egg him on.
Yeah.
So that, that's their tactic. They think he's like, Sideshow Bob, Darcy Tucker, he's going to lose his mind and attack the bench or something like that. And I think since Sheldon Keefe told him, you've got to maintain some control because we can't have you in the penalty box. I mean, he fought Corey Perry and he beat him. Mm-hmm. So Bunting last year came into the playoffs with an injury and was not the Bunting that had played with Matthews and Marner during the season. He's healthy this time around. He's a pain in the ass. And I think that he could get underneath the skin of a Cirelli or a Point. Now,
that's a good point too.
Yeah. Those guys, they've been through the wars. They've dealt with that. But in the here and there, he's so annoying that he might get them off their game.
Mm-hmm. So, Scarborough is very annoying. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't say and that
we,
you did.
We love it.
I didn't say that you did. That's all you.
All right. So thanks again, Mike, for coming on again. And of course, we will have you on again during the playoffs for more commentary. And we hope that we'll have you on several times because this is going to go really long. So anyways, folks, check out Mike's blog and podcast at hockeybuzz.com. And if you don't follow him on Twitter, you should. He has great post-game Leaf talks as well that you can get in on. And you can do that at his handle, which is at Mike in Buffalo. So definitely join him there as well.
Yeah.
Thank you, ladies.
All right. Thanks. All right. So thanks again to Mike for coming on the show and giving us his thoughts on this upcoming series versus the Tampa Bay Lightning. We can't wait for the playoffs to start up. And just a reminder, we are going weekly for the playoffs. So hit that follow button wherever you listen to our show.
We are also going to be on YouTube, so you can now watch our show there and you can subscribe to our YouTube channel. Our handle there is at LTL1917.
Yes, so you can let us know for a little while. Anyways, hopefully a long time, how we're doing on YouTube. So another way you can follow us is on social media, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Our handle is the same, at LTL1917. And just another friendly reminder to be sure to leave us a rating or review and let us know what you think of the show. It's easy on Apple or Spotify, and it's important for our show to get exposure as a source for Leaf content. And we thank you for taking the time.
And another way to help us out is by visiting our Ko-fi page at ko-fi.com. We added some new photos there from the Sports Programming Awards, which we attended, and that is a part of the Canadian Screen Awards. Follow our Ko-fi page, and if you choose to, you can support our show by buying us a coffee. So any donation you make there helps us produce the show and helps us make it even better for you. So you can find the link to our Ko-fi page on any of our social media profile pages or in our show notes.
Yeah, and as always, we thank our healthcare workers and first responders for everything that they do.
And we thank you, as always, for listening and now watching. So enjoy round one, Leafs Nation. And until next time,
go Leafs, go.